If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Dini al-Islam, dini wal-Azam, ghayru dini Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about some of the jurisprudential laws and Islamic laws about Hajj, but according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
Subhanallah.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Mohammad, hosting this program. Ashraf Javed with our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javed. Sheikh Javed, while performing Rami or stoning, or before performing it, if it happens that a used stone, not a fresh one, falls into the container from which we, drawn or use some of the stones to throw at the pillars, right? If yes. One of the used pebbles gets into the container by mistake and gets mixed up with the unknown ones, with the fresh ones, should we throw 8 stones while one of them is used?
Very good. Well, if he throws 8 stones, there is no problem because one of the stones is used. It will not be counted as a stone, as a stoning actually, because we are supposed to perform, we are supposed to throw 7 pebbles, not very big stones, pebbles at the pillars or at the devil. And if there are 8, then it does not affect the stoning or what they call rami. Mm-hmm. And in that case, one will be additional. There is no problem in throwing more stones at the pebbles to make sure that maybe out 7 out of those stones will hit the pebbles. The devils or the pillars. His Eminence also says that, okay, when you are sure you have performed Rami stoning using new and unused stones, then it's valid, it's sufficient, and there's no problem in using an extra one.
Mm-hmm, I see.
Yes.
A person is able to perform Rami or stoning on the 8th Al-Adha. But in the afternoon, as there's no crowd at Jamara Aqaba at that time, can this person hire a representative for performing Rami in the morning of 8? If he wants to perform Rami in the afternoon, he would not be able to slaughter the animal on the day of 8. Can he hire a representative for Rami so that he or they may slaughter the animal on the day of 8, though we can do it in the afternoon personally?
If a person is capable, of course, capable of performing Rami, which is translated as stoning. Mm-hmm. So Rami means stoning. If a person is himself capable of performing Rami, even in the afternoon, then, of course, hiring a representative is not valid. It's not in order to choose a proxy or to appoint a proxy for this purpose. But in the event that the one does not hope that the excuse he has may not be removed, maybe he has problems, he has physical problems, or maybe he has some excuses which are valid according to Sharia, and he does not hope that that excuse may be removed until the last moment of the day, then, of course, he may hire a representative. In that case, there would be no objection to him. Now, if by chance there a person's excuse is removed after performing the ritual, the right of the representative, the action which is done by the representative is sufficient. And it's not permissible to repeat it, nor is it compulsory to do any other act. So because that proxy did it on his behalf or on her behalf, usually women have problem, approaching that area, because that area is highly crowded and people feel, because of the stampede, because of the crowd, people feel scared to get close to those stones.
A few people sometimes get stuck and die on the stampede or under pressure.
Yes. If you hire a proxy and the proxy does his job accordingly, and then maybe the excuse is removed, you have no problem going there. it's not necessary to repeat what the proxy did on your behalf.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/Ian. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khomeini's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, yeah, Allah. Guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah. Don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio. This is me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program. Ashraf Javed, our guest speaker. We are still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws about Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khomeini. Ashraf Javed, let me continue asking you the questions related to Hajj. You know, we all know that, Jamara has been expanded recently. So having said that, if a part of the wall of Jamara Aqaba would be outside Mina, is performing Ramy on that part valid, while the whole wall is considered as Jamara Aqaba?
It doesn't seem to be the walls that have been built or the pillars that have been expanded. You know, each pillar could be as wide as 24 meters, and some of them are very joint walls. Now, if a pilgrim is certain that a part of the wall expanded is situated outside Mina, then on the basis of precaution, he should throw stones at the very part that is not outside Mina. So there is at least one part of the wall which is not outside of Mina. So he should aim at that part and hit that part of the pillar to make sure that he has or she has hit that part of the wall which is not outside of Mina.
I see. In light of this new expansion in Jamara, what's the duty of a person who does not know the real part? Or is it sufficient to stone at any part of this wall?
Well, if a person can perform stoning and can throw pebbles or stones at the actual place of the previous pillar without unbearable difficulty, without unbearable hardship, it is obligatory that he perform ram at that very place, at that very part of the pillar. But if searching, if looking for that part, you know, constitutes a lot of hardship, and then pelting stone or throwing stones will result in unbearable difficulty, which is exempted actually according to Islamic Sharia, then it is sufficient to throw pebbles on any part of the wall, because Islam does not want a duty-bound person to go beyond what he can afford, beyond his obligation. So usually it is very difficult for a pilgrim to stone that pillar at that very specific part which used to stand there long time before, even in the early period of Islam. So nowadays, for the facility of the pilgrims, in order for the pilgrims to be comfortable, the Saudi authorities have actually expanded the three pillars, to facilitate the stoning, to make it easy for the pilgrims to stone the pillars so that there is the pilgrims,
the huge crowd, yes, can manage to, yes, throw stones, yeah, at any part.
Usually,
of the wall,
people,
right?
And a lot of elderly people end up dying there because of the huge crowd or because of the stampede. Mm. So it's okay if that one should not go to extreme hardship or to that extent where he may risk his life.
Right.
If that is the case, then he is exempted. He should throw his stones at any part of the pillar.
Okay, thank you very much, Javed, for your nice comment and answers, or answering the questions related to Hajj based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Thank you very much for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم مجا لا إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا